Good evening, church. Good to have you all here, and we are continuing our Revelation study for the much foreseeable future. We're in Revelation chapter 9, if you want to follow along, not to be confused with the Beatles song Revolution number 9. But we're looking at Revelation chapter 9. And then this is where we see the seven trumpets continue. The seven trumpets continue. We started that in chapter 8, and we saw the calamities that were taking place against nature and different things of that time. And then remember at the end of chapter 8, depending on your translation, either says that an eagle was flying over or an angel was flying over. The reason there's neither one of those is wrong is because the actual translation there should be, there was a message being brought. And angels are messengers, or the eagle brought the message, either way. So depending on your translation, might say one of two different things. So we are going to eventually get to verses 1 through 12 this evening. The fifth angel's judgment begins on men. This trumpet that is sounded by the fifth angel will be that of the first woe that was announced by this eagle in chapter 8 that we had just mentioned. Again, to make you aware of some false doctrine on this topic, and those that are aware, when you start to study out Revelation and you come across a gentleman's name by the name of Hal Lindsey, we're going to once refer to him again here. On his incorrect theology and doctrine. He believes that the locusts in our opening text are actually militant, demon-possessed locusts, and they might even be referring to Cobra helicopters. As we said before, many of his thoughts and ideas, according to him, should have taken place 20 years ago, or 40 years ago, excuse me. He is wrong. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. We'd like to look at that and then discuss some of that this evening. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. You've seen this. All you have to do is take out and look around your neighborhood and see some guy that's grilling and stepped away from his grill for a while. It looks quite similar. Verse 3. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek his name is Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. This is where, once again, we're going to want to, I hope that you take the time and research some of this, to mark down and check some world history with some things that are going to take place here, and how it just lines up side by side with what Scripture shares with us. The prophecy for this fifth trumpet is that of a fallen star, Satan, that has been given the keys to the abyss. The key is given to him. Jesus even had authority over the key of the abyss. Jude chapter 6, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, these are some passages that express the fate of fallen angels and their place of reservation until judgment. Some translations call it a bottomless pit, an abyss, is what it is called in the Greek. However, the words can be quite similar. Just a fun thought, the word Gehenna or hell is not found in the book of Revelation. Something for you to think about. This is referred to a place for the fallen angelic forces. Out of that pit, let an army of locusts loose, which come to torment the earth for 5 months. We will, in the next several chapters, start seeing numbers start to indicate things, and it's just usually time frames for history. We'll want to remember 5 months here, and we might even get to that tonight yet. The smoke arose out of the abyss, and this blots our light and causes the world to be in darkness. If the gospel illuminates, then false doctrine or false teachings try to eclipse. Sin darkens the world, and Satan is the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We're told that in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2. It says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Do not get in our mind that Satan is just sitting back, riding out time until the world comes to an end. Satan is at full charge. He is on the go. And he is doing his best to get in the way of our salvation. As Paul writes here, that before we were in Christ, as we look this morning, before we were a new creature, in which it says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Those were the old things, the world things that it has to offer. According to the prince of the power of the air. And do not forget, although Christ is in control and has all authority on heaven and earth, there are things that he has allowed for Satan to take control of and run with for a short time. And so as we see this, be reminded that evil is always working. The Spirit, the Word of God is always working. And it is up to man for us to decide, are we going to be a child of God, a son of God? Or a child or the sons of disobedience. Again, as we pointed out this morning, that's up to you. That's up to each and every one of us. We have those choices to make. But just because it looks powerful and we sometimes make an assumption that because there's something happening that we don't understand, that it's got to be an act of God. Remember, Satan does things as well, and we need to beware of that. I mean, that goes all the way back to Egypt when the Israelites, with their battle with the Egyptians with snakes and staves and things of that nature. But God's power, the power in Christ, will always prevail. Out of the smoke came the locusts and the power of scorpions. Notice it didn't say scorpions. It said the power of scorpions. Scorpions have a great, great deal of power and can cause a great deal of pain and even death on some of them. So that's just something there for us to remember. These are the emblems of the judgment of God. How many times do we see it in the Old Testament? I'm not asking for a number. I'm just wanting you to realize that it's several times. That locusts would come in as a judgment on maybe God's people or even not God's people on other places and bring down his judgment. In other words, destruction possibly, wiping out vegetation, being so thick in the sky that it blocks out the sun. So remember, the fifth angel said to hurt man, but not the vegetation. So this is exactly opposite of what actual locusts do. Deuteronomy 28:38. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. Literal locusts do not have stinging tails, nor a leader. You notice many groups of animals might have a queen bee or something of it. Locusts, each one's for themselves, but yet they hang out together. It's kind of like a gang of sorts, that they want that family connection. They want that being connected, but at the same time, they're not going to let anybody take the lead. Proverbs 30, verse 27 says, the locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. This is kind of one of those things that we should consider. It oftentimes seems that the evil or the bad, it's like, boy, you know, if the good and the righteous could get our act together like the evil do, we could do as much good as the evil does damage. And so they have no leader. They just go out looking for what they can destroy. Imagine if the church wouldn't just, you know, not worry about titles and positions and different things and understand that Christ is the head, and we just go do our work. How much more effective things could be. Scorpions often spread pestilence by contagious diseases. The scorpions did not kill, they just tormented. It'd kind of be like the cats of our day. Sin carries its own torment and curse. The torment of conscience is a very real pain. You ever been heavy burdened with your conscience, knowing you've sinned against God, knowing that you're in a relationship with Him that is not good, that is not where it should be, and your conscience causes you torment and does cause you great pain? This is that kind of an instance. The root word for scorpion is to scatter. It means, in the light of this information, consider these verses. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so that's when one of those things when you talk to somebody and you say, you know, well, I've got me, you know, you hear them and they'll, me and the big guy, we got it all worked out. No, that's not how it works. The Lord says that you're either with me, you have to be in me, or you're against me. And so many times we look at that and we see those examples that maybe in the world, we know people that aren't Christians that act far better as Christians than maybe we do. Or we see some Christians that don't live up to their name of being a Christian. And that's where we don't need to worry about those things, that judgment is coming and the Lord will take care of it. But our actual fact is that we would hopefully pray that that would be cleared and taken care of before He comes and extends His judgment upon us. How about Luke chapter 10 and verse 19? Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. We are also reminded in this text, and this is the unfortunate side of, remember as we talked this morning, how we have hope every day, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. That when you're in the world and you don't have Jesus Christ, hope eludes us. Hope may slide through our fingertips. We're always looking for the next thing that's going to change our life and give us the best life that we could possibly have. However, we need to understand and be reminded, if Christ is not in that life and leading that life, then that's just an illusion, as Paul talks about to the church in Thessalonica about those, that we find things that we want to find, and we see things as we want to see them. And that's where this passage of Scripture comes in, and I pray that we as the church don't fall into this. But you never know how the Lord will decide to work with nations and things going on in our own country or even around the world. But this passage of Scripture says, and as we read it, and I hope you remember it, it says, men will seek death and not find it. Josh Burton at our men's camp up at Ouija had talked about things that need to be addressed and need to be talked about. And it's in our society, and especially after having come over the summer and some of the tragedy that befell us at the end of the school year last year, is things that we can't overlook, can't sweep them under the rug. We need to talk about them. And we find, and that's one of the things that I felt he did extremely well, was sharing that with us in a way of making us aware and how we need to be there for one another, and how it can fall upon, it's not just people in the world that struggle with life decisions. Boy, it would have been great if the day we came up out of that watery grave of baptism, that every decision that needed to be made and the life that needed to be lived was there and not a problem. But we are reminded that those that lose hope or fail to find their hope in Christ make decisions that affect other people, affect all people, whether they realize it or not. But men will seek death and not find it. Suicide is often the desire, or this was interesting. I would have never used this word in this, but a book I was reading at the time for this said suicide is often the desire, or in the parentheses it had the word lusting. Now, I do think if we'd be playing a game and we'd have to name synonyms to desire, who wouldn't say lust? You know, eventually you'd get down to, but do we think of that when it comes to the taking of our own life? Does that not put a spin on things that maybe we need to reconsider? That suicide is often the desire, or it's the lusting of sinners who live in a morally decadent society. When we live in a society where someone believes that is the only way out, how morally corrupt have we become? And again, this isn't tied to just non-Christians. This is something that power of the air, that Satan is trying to influence each and every one of us with. Jesus, or in Luke chapter 21, 26, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming, the world, which is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Here's what I want for you to remember, and here's the important thing to consider. Whether young or old, and that is, physical death cannot and will not free anyone from spiritual suffering. Do we hear that? Physical death cannot and will not free anyone from spiritual suffering. But yet, in our world, we tie those two things together greatly. We know our failures. We know our faults. And we know that if we know those things and we recognize those things, then we know that God knows that. As we've said this morning, we were talking about how I could repent for someone or someone could repent for me. And boy, we could have fun doing that. However, I have to repent for myself. And when we go about, and if we would, you know, and believe you me, there are cults and groups that get into this, then they'll run over and they'll, get you aside by yourself. And they'll be like, Xander, is there any sin that you need to talk about? Is there any sin that you need to get off your chest? Now, I know Xander. Oh, there's sin you need to get over. No, I just. But my point is, but that's none of my business for the most part. If it affects me, then yes, I'm tied in there, right? But if it's not me, then I can do my best. I can pray for him. I can encourage him. I can give him scriptures. I can do things to try to help that. However, don't go to them and say, you know, you can confide in me. No, you can confide in Jesus Christ. Okay? And this is that we already know that there's a struggle going on in the mind if this is a contemplation for people. And with that then contemplation, we know that we are not at our spiritual height or our spiritual strength of the moment. And it sounds like, well, you know, Dave just wants to help me. Right? Sounds like a good thing. The preacher just wants to help me. That's where we need to be careful. That's where we need to watch out for those things. And so we may be seeking out physical death to stop our spiritual suffering, but that will not happen. Job 3, 20 and 21. Why is light given to him who suffers? The life to the bitter soul, and life to the bitter soul. Who longs for death, but there is none, and dig for it more than hidden treasures. In other words, it seems like if I just answered that call, and I hope you understand what I'm talking about, that everything would be better. But that is a lie from Satan. In this Job passage, it merely means that there is great anguish of our soul. And he's talking about in which there is no escape outside of our Lord and Savior. And as Mr. Burton or Josh shared with us up there that week, if we don't discuss it and talk about it and walk one another through it, then I guarantee you sometime again, we'll be sitting off to the side with our heads drooped down low saying, I just wish there was something I could have done. If we'd only known, we could have stopped this from happening. So here's what I want for you to understand. That last 5 minutes of my discussion and my message, not the most exciting things I've ever discussed and talked about, right? And yet, it says that this time that's taking place is worse than all of that. Now are we understanding? Those are some of the darkest times in man's life. Mankind's life is what I'm... And yet it says here there are those that seek those things, that lust after those things, that desire to be in that, and they're not going to find it. Because our hope is not in anything in this world, as we shared this morning. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Then, this next portion that we're going to finish up with tonight talks about the king of the abyss. There is, in Google images, apparently Abaddon or Apollyon is a great source of people wanting to paint, draw out the picture of this, to see the imagery. Not a shortage of these things. But what is shared, even just with that little picture on the board, is those that long for things of the dark side, and yes, that's what I said and what I meant, those that long for the dark things of this world, there is no hope in there. There is no relief that comes by succumbing to these things. And if we actually look at all of the information that's given about this king of the abyss, this Apollyon, this Abaddon, which actually those words are just translated for an angel of destruction or a destroyer. And what we need to remember today, especially, and this is one of the things I fear for my grandsons, I fear for your kids, I fear for this, is this world that we live in of the digital video game. Because we can play some pretty dark and grotesque and evil games, and you get wiped out, so what do? Hit reset. Turn it off and start over again. But Satan knows that in our real life, there is no reset. Not if the life has been taken. Now, as long as there's life, there's hope. But when that life is lost, then hope is gone. And so that's a reminder to us, I think, that as we get intrigued by some of this stuff, please be very, very careful to the world that it pulls us into, because I believe that is part of Satan's scheme, is to make us think, I can just hit the reset button. Stop game, and let's begin again. Now, if you're alive, there's hope in Jesus. But if the life is gone, our hope has been extinguished. The fifth trumpet here gives us a very real picture of sin's influence. Its influence is extremely powerful, and this is a great overlook of verses 1 through 12, I believe, in this next portion that we're going to finish out with here tonight. It hides the light and darkens our world with its influence from the abyss. These are the things that this king of the abyss does. These are the things that the destroyer, the one of destruction, the angel of destruction is trying to bring. It torments us from birth to its end. Have we ever seen or shared in people's lives that just have a struggle, it seems, every day of their life? No matter how much they put their trust in the Lord, they just live in a world that's different than everybody else's. Just because it's different than yours doesn't mean it's not real and doesn't need to be helped along with and dealt with. It's as painful as a scorpion. Now, I don't know, Mike, when I mentioned scorpions at first, shook his head, and I don't know if he's ever been around one or bit by one or not, but they can bring miserable pain, is from what I've been told. So this destruction and this destroyer is that of a pain as a scorpion. It causes despair and makes one desire death. We've discussed that. It attacks us, attacks as a horse prepared for battle. It acts as if it would be crowned with golden crowns. It is crafty as a man. It is seductive as a woman. It is as ferocious as a lion. It is as invincible as a breastplate of iron. It rushes us with the wings as chariots rushing to battle. And it is as dangerous as a two-headed snake. And its commander of this messenger desires to destroy us. It's trying to paint. Remember, as we started off this series, we made mention that so many things in the letters that Paul wrote, when you are talking with maybe a friend at work, and they'll try to say, well, that's just a figurative water. So much of what we've been trained in is all very literal. And that's why then when we get to the book of Revelation, and as it started off, remember, John was told, these are all figurative unless I tell you otherwise. And remember, we said that this is almost like the Christian's reward, that now we get to let our crazy imaginations run wild on what we see as pictures and things of that nature. And that's what the Lord is trying to let us see. Think of the craziest things as something that you could describe there that was happening there. But we will then next week start as we go through history, and we'll see that there were certain nations of people that fulfilled those things, from being specifically, there was like three in a row there, crafty as a man, as seductive as a woman, and ferocious as a lion. This will lead us to our discussion on the topic of Islam and those that are of the Muslim faith that we'll look at and begin some of that next week as we get into around the 600 AD. Remember, we got to remember these the 5 months, the timelines, and different things of that'll take place. But it's just all a reminder to us that God has a plan. He set it in order, and we might not always like it. You know, there are things that maybe we discuss tonight that when we get to heaven, we got some serious questions for God. But he's a big boy. He can handle it. And when he gives the answers, then we just respond, yes, sir. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that says that we need to, it begins with our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that you're willing to repent of your sin, and that falls upon your own responsibility to confess Jesus as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then live faithfully for him. And that's where, in this book of Revelation, if we've learned anything, it's that God is patient. God is wanting for all men to repent, as we're told by Peter, but yet at the same time, it's your choice. Some people will go a lifetime and never repent. Others take that opportunity and run with it. Be one of those people that take that opportunity and run with it and serve the Lord as long as you can. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?